There's an old Jewish tradition that every time God speaks, an angel comes into being. It's a lot of angels. Most people can come up with a name for at least one or two, like the archangels, Gabriel and Michael, or Lucifer, the fallen angel. But in ancient Jewish legends, there are thousands more. Rahab, the angel of the sea, Raziel, the messenger of God, Metatron, God's scribe, and so on. Howard Schwartz is the author of more than a dozen books of Jewish stories and legends. His most recent is called The Tree of Souls. There are hundreds of angel stories in it. They're drawn from the Bible, the Talmud, the Midrash, Kabbalistic literature, and medieval folklore. Schwartz told Anne Strangechamps a few of his favorites, like the one about the angel of friendship.
There's a Jewish tradition that every person has his own unique light on high. I guess it's kind of the idea of a higher soul. And that when we meet another person that we become close friends with, that the two lights, our light and the light of our friend, merge. And out of that merging comes a new angel. And this angel thrives for as much as a year. But if you're separated from your friend for more than a year, then you have to say a blessing where you thank God for raising the dead so that God will bring the angel of friendship, to life. So that every friend has, between all friends, there is an angel of friendship. Just a beautiful idea.
One of the most beautiful myths you found is the one about the angel of conception.
Yes, yes. This is really one of my very favorites, too. The idea here is that there is one angel whose name is Lila, and Lila means night. The idea is that she is charged with God to bring the soul and to make the soul enter, you know, the seed, and to implant the seed in the womb. And then Lila stays in the womb, you know, with the growing embryo, and reads to the child from a little light inside of the womb, because I love that detail, the history of all the secrets, you know, of knowledge, so that the child knows everything, all of the history of heaven and of hell and of the future and of the past. It reads everything, all the wisdom that there is. And then when the child is born, the angel waits there just as the child emerges and strikes the child above the lip. And this is what creates that little strange indentation above our lip. And what the angel is saying basically is, shh, you know, now don't tell anybody all these secrets. Mm-hmm. And then at that instant, the child forgets everything. But, you know, that doesn't matter. It means that at some level, I would say the meaning of this is at some level in our unconscious, we know everything, but we spend our life relearning it.
Mm-hmm. Can people ever become angels?
This is wonderful. I tell you, this is one of the cleverest of all the Midrashim, that is to say, the rabbinic legends. This goes back to the story in the Bible where Jacob wrestles with the angel. He has just, you know, escaped from his uncle Laban with, you know, his wives and his servants and his flocks, and they've crossed the river Yabbok, and he's exhausted. And then he hears that his brother Esau has come with an army on the other side and is waiting for him. 20 years later, he hasn't forgotten. He's still angry with him. And poor Jacob lays down by himself on one side of the river, and he goes to sleep. And an ish comes. It means a man, but this is traditionally interpreted to mean an angel. The angel wrestles with him. And they wrestle all night. And finally, they wrestle to a standstill. And Jacob says, "Tell me your name." He says, the angel refuses, but he says, "Then bless me." And the angel says to him, "Your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name will be Israel." And of course, Yisrael, which, by the way, can be interpreted to mean one who has wrestled with God. And from this point on, of course, he becomes the patriarch, Jacob. He changes from being the sort of immature trickster that he is in the earlier texts, and he really becomes a patriarch. He is transformed. And of course, the whole nation of Israel is named after him. Well, in some of the rabbinic explanations, which are just delightful, it says that instead of saying to Jacob, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, your name will be Israel," that actually Jacob was an angel, the angel Israel, the highest among the angels. And he had descended to earth and become a human. And he had forgotten that he was a human. And God sent this angel, right, Uriel, down to earth and said, "Go, it's time to bring, you know, the angel Israel back to heaven." And so the angel is fighting with him and saying, "You're not Jacob, you're Israel."
What about the fallen angels? Were they,
cause
they
weren't, the fallen angels.
All the angels weren't, they weren't also always good.
Right. This whole tradition, and it's an enormous tradition, grows out of Genesis 6, where it says that the sons of God, you know, married the daughters of men. And the question is, you know, in the rabbinic interpretations of this, who were the sons of God? What the rabbis say is there were two angels whose names were Shemhazai and Azazel. And they, you know, they went to God and they said, look, you know, we can see that the world is full of sin. Don't you really regret having created man? And God says, he says, you don't understand. He says, there is a force on earth called the Yetzer Hara. This means the evil inclination. And whoever lives on earth is subject to this force, and it's this force that's causing them to sin. And the angel says, ah, he says, if they were only stronger, you know, they could resist it. They said, for example, we, if we were on earth, we would resist it. So they said, listen, let us descend to earth, and we'll prove to you that we can remain pious. So they make this bargain with God. They descend to earth, and they take on human form. And their intention was to be righteous, but as soon as they saw how beautiful the daughters of men were, they started lusting after them, and they quickly gave in to sin. And then they did terrible things. They started revealing the secrets of heaven to them. They started teaching them all sorts of dark secrets about magic and about how to entice men and how to make jewelry and how to make themselves beautiful and attractive to men and all these kinds of things. And in the end, they were punished for this. Shemhazai was hung upside down from the heavens and becomes a kind of astrological collection of stars. And Azazel, who refuses to repent, is cast down into a, you know, very much like Lucifer or like Satan, is cast down into a canyon and hung upside down there.
Is there an angel of death?
Absolutely. Of course there's an angel of death. King David, for example, somehow learned that the angel of death could not take a person who was studying the Torah. And then he also learned that he was destined to die on the Sabbath. So from that time on, he spent the entire Sabbath studying the Torah. And the angel of death, who was waiting to take him, you know, was very frustrated by this. So what did the angel do? He went outside, and he shook some trees and made a big noise. And King David ran out onto his porch to see what had happened, and the angel took him.
Oh, but I love this tradition of the chutzpah of Jewish writers and rabbis who
right.
try to outwit the angel of death.
Exactly. Outfox the angel of death. Precisely.
Howard Schwartz has written more than a dozen books of Jewish stories and legends, including Lilith's Cave and Gabriel's Palace. His most recent is called The Tree of Souls. Anne Strainchamp spoke with him.